But this morning, praise the Lord, we get to wrap up this series. 4 weeks long. It's been a wonderful journey. Pastor Kathy kicked it off. How many were here for the first? Okay, one of them, right? You were here for one of them. Listen, all three of them are archived, at fwcpr.org. You can go back and listen to them. I highly encourage you, if you missed any one of them, to go back and listen to them. Part one is basically we're just talking about that, the Bible's talking and we're attacking that that the world wants us as children of God to think their way, the world's way, and the Bible says differently. And that's really where this is basing this off of, that we have to be very, very careful not to let culture dictate what our personality is supposed to be as a child of God. And so with that being said, we've also intentionally, how many are enjoying your fast? All right, there's a few of you. There's some of you are like, oh, yeah. Remember, to my knowledge, 35 years Family Worship Center has been in existence. To my knowledge, this is the second fast of the year that we've ever done. And so it's 14 days, only 14 days. It's super, uber easy. Look at your neighbor and say, super, uber. Super uber easy. All it is all you're doing is fasting lunch, and the reason why usually at the beginning of the year we get more intense. Maybe it's fasting sugar and sweets. Maybe it's fasting social media and gaming. Maybe it's fasting different things. And then we're going through withdrawals. And our bodies blah, 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 and everything else. And it's like, oh, how can I focus on God when I'm just going through withdrawals? I'm basically detoxing. From what we're addicted to, but really, truthfully, this is easy. All we have to do is just, if you think you don't think you make it, beef up on breakfast, make a healthy dinner, but basically we're just really desiring for you just to take a few minutes of your lunch and spend time with God. And truthfully, the truth of the matter is how many of us really do that on a daily basis? And that's what we were wanting to do, just to get you to take some moments, open up your Bible, maybe take a few minutes and just pray and talk to him. It's that easy. So it's dovetailing together with this series because it's going to culminate next week with, you've heard a lot about already, with a special Holy Spirit conference with Dr. Mary Frances Varallo. And so that's going to be, you've heard about the dates and everything else. But I encourage you. This is building up to then, and to be able to be here as much as possible. I believe every service with her is different. So you could really attend both the morning services, and they will be different. It's if you were here last week, the second service was different from the first service. And the reason is that there's the needs of the people are different in different services. So we are a church that's led by the Spirit of God. And so where the Spirit of God leads, we're going to be moving in that area. And so I encourage you, to be able to do all you possibly can to be here for those meetings, as Pastor Kathy's already talked about. But to quickly recap part one of what Pastor Kathy talked about, she did part one and part two, and I picked up on part three, and then I'm wrapping up at part four. And so part one, with this, we're talking about a spiritual detox in this fast. She talked about a spiritual detox of our spirit. How many of you know that we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body? And so part one, she talked about a detox of our spirit, and things that we can do over the following 6 days that we can focus on detoxing some things from our spirit. And then the following week, she talked about spiritual detox of our soul. And there were some things that she followed up. She gave everyone something to follow up on so we can take those next 6 days and really focus in. And then last week, I was going to do part three, which was going to be the body. But the Holy Spirit just really arrested me and said, you know what? You know, let's stop and camp on the text, the theme of the series, and just spend a little bit more time on that. And how many were here last week? You got to see some guys, you know, in a ladder, and we couldn't find a yoke on Amazon, you know, like an oxen with the yoke and everything else. I couldn't find that on Amazon. They don't sell it on Amazon. So we got creative, and we used a ladder. If you missed that, don't miss a service because you never know what you're going to miss. And so we have some guys up here, you know, that were, showing what it's like to be yoked together. And that's what we're going to really, 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 really pick up on, you know, is we're going to be picking up on, the body part. And so before we do that, let's just go over the definition of detox. Detox, the removal of toxic substances from a living organism. That's what detoxing is. It's a removal of toxic substances from a living organism. If you were here last week was a lot of preaching. And so to this morning, you know, I encourage you to get your pen and paper out, get your phone, whatever. Tonight, this morning is going to be a lot of teaching. And so, I praise God that we're able to flow in those different offices. So this morning, it's going to be a little different from that aspect from last week. But I really believe with all of my heart that this specific message has been sitting on the back burner for some time, and that God knew that you were going to be here, that it was going to really, really, really encourage you, and there's going to be some people that are going to be set free this morning. And so spiritual, we were talking about detoxing, detox, removal of toxic substances from a living organism. And so we're going to just jump right into the text, and we'll go from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, and then we're going to read all the way down through the chapter, and then we're going to read what we didn't read last week, chapter 17 and verse 1. We didn't get that far. And so this morning, let's start there. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Now, yoke, just as a reminder, those that weren't here last week, the word yoke in the Greek is koinonia. It literally means do not have common or close fellowship with. Do not have common or close fellowship with. That's what that word yoke means in the Greek, koinonia. And so we'll say it like this. Do not have common or close fellowship together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? That's another word for Satan. And or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Can someone say amen to that? We are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk with them among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, this is detoxing. This is the detox. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, we're going to go one more verse. Verse 1, therefore, since we have these promises, what promises are we talking about? That God desires to be a part of our life, that God desires to be yoked with us, and he doesn't want us to be yoked with the world. He wants to be yoked with us. He wants us to have communion with us. So therefore, that promise, dear friends, let us detox, another word, purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, that's our text scripture for this series, and we've touched on it. And then we heard Pastor Kathy said, detox part one. You know, I think that when we think about spirit, soul, and body, or we talked about, you know, when she mentioned detox at the beginning, we might have thought about maybe it was like physical detox, because when we talk about detox, we go through, you know, withdrawals, like I mentioned earlier, like when we start fasting, and some of us fast caffeine, and all of a sudden we have those caffeine headaches, right? You start shaking, you know, or you're going through withdrawals because of sugar, you know, and a couple days later you're in the corner with, you know, sugar babies all over the place, and you're just shaking, you know, because you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, just desiring. So, you know, we can think of weight, you know, and when I think of weight, that, you know, only God, now this is a discovery that's just been recent in our house, that only God can create the Dunkin' Donut Frosted Blueberry Donut. Have anyone ever had that? Seriously. Juliana introduced that to our family, and I tell you what, it is worth every single bite. It tastes like cake. But now God could create that, but it's the devil that makes me want to eat all 12 of them, you know? And I'm not gonna say one time I try to be nice and I try to bring some home. So I brought home 6. And I'm not gonna say who it is, but someone got on my case and said, "You're wasting money. You should have brought 12 home." And I'm not gonna say who it is, but the person sitting on the front row, and I love her with all my heart. And she says, "Well, it's $2 more, but you know, but." And how many can they say that, like me, that maybe your extra spiritual gift is eating? No, mine is, I love pasta, pizza, you know, you can tell I'm fasting, pasta, pizza, Lord Jesus, you know. I actually set a goal in January. I set a goal in January that by the time I turn 50, at the end of March, I turned 50 years old, March 29th, that in January I made a goal that I was going to lose 50 pounds by the time I was 50 years old. And here we are in the middle of October. I'm so happy to say I'm 60 pounds away. And so, truthfully, I missed that goal. And, I did not attain that goal. But I am happy to say that I made a new goal by the end of the year. And I'm only 18 pounds away from that 50. And so, but that's awesome. That's praise the Lord for that. And also my doctor truly says I'm the perfect weight. I'm just 11, I'm 11 feet too short. And so I am just really, huh? My wife's like, "Hey, come on, it's not a comedy hour. You're not on America's Got Talent." But I like to land this series because this is about to get very serious. This is about to get very, very, very personal. This is about to get very, 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 very where we are living. And so I'd like you to turn to Romans, please. Romans chapter 7. And, you know, I want you to understand, I think we all know to some degree and maybe you don't, but how we treat our bodies directly affects the other two parts, our spirit and our soul. I don't know if you realize that or not, but hear it today, that how we treat our bodies automatically affects our spirit and our soul. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 24, it says, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good," this is Paul talking, Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, Paul saying, "When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But when I see another law at work in the members of my body waging against the law of my mind," there's a war going on between his spirit and his flesh. And then it's making him, he says, it makes me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in my members. And then he questions himself. I mean, this is Paul who wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament. He says, you know, "What a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body of death?" You know, he's warring with him. He himself is saying, "Man, I battle this all the time." And if Paul battles it, my gosh, I'm sure we do too on a daily basis. And so, you know, if we get detoxed from the things that are polluting our bodies, we will experience freedom like we've never known before. And don't get me wrong, I do not mask on being a health guru or anything else. There's incredible men and women that attend our church. You see, Mike Coase is to my right, your left. He's amazing at this stuff, you know. I don't try to fool him, but I do know the spiritual implications and what our spirit and our soul when we don't take care of our body. I've experienced it. I felt the pain. I felt the anguish, and I think I know you have too. And so, I'm bringing some things to light that these areas that we're going to be talking about are very, very serious and they're very, very real. and maybe even painful to some degree. But I don't even say perhaps not even a joy to talk about. But the truth of the matter is, church, that the Bible talks about these things extensively. So you know what? We're going to jump in. And I believe after last week's message, then you know my heart. You know that we only desire God's best for you. And you know, so simply, but it's something that the devil messes with us about, the world messes with us, and also that we need to stand firmly against. And the first one is simply addiction. Addiction. How many of you in this room can lift up your hand and say, I'm an addict? There's a few of you raised your hand. But now here's the thing, not very many, because we do not want to admit to being an addict. And now let's put everyone on the same playing field. Addiction is anything that I don't want to do that I keep doing. Now I'll ask, who's an addict? Hello, my name is John, and I'm an addict, right? You could put your name in there. Then I would include all of us. You know, the truth is that all of us face addiction in our lives in some form. We really do. An area within ourselves that is telling us how to live our lives. Addiction. You may say, okay, all right, John, how can I tell if I'm addicted? Well, here's some signs of addiction. Do you arrange your schedule around it? What's it? Whatever the addiction is that you automatically thought of. Are you working to keep it a secret? Is it isolating you from other people? Do you do the people around you say that you have a problem with it? If you were to stop, could you be able to stop it over the next 6 days? That just located right where you were at. Got to do a self-evaluation. We all do. What in your life does this fall underneath? It could be a plethora of things. Lots of different things. It could be gambling. It could be overspending. It could be lust. It could be alcoholism. It could be anything that you say, I can't stop in 6 days. I cannot go 6 days without it. That is what we're talking about. And I want to encourage you today that God wants to get involved in your battle. That's why we're talking about this. He wants to get involved in the battle of that addiction. He wants to help you. He wants to give you the strength that you need. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 14. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture this morning. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God, for sin shall not be your master. So I would encourage you this week to focus on that area. Focus on it. Admit first that there's an addiction there. And I would hope and pray, I know, that after this morning's message, there will be an incredible grace, a mercy, and a love that he will give you to help you overcome whatever it is. Because God knew you were going to be here. And he doesn't want you bound to anything. He doesn't want you. He doesn't want anything to have a stronghold over your life to stop you from fulfilling your destiny for God, with God, through God. I mean, he just wants to be. He wants to help you in the battle, but we've got to surrender to him and say, "Okay, God, I really do got a problem with this. No more hiding from it. No more trying. You know what? Because he knows it already. He does. He's there with us. You know, and so." Make that decision over the next 6 days. I'm going to focus in on it. Keep it in prayer. So that's the first one. Second one is debauchery. Now, we don't use that fancy word in today's vernacular, but I am purposely using this word because it's straight out of Scripture. It's straight out of the Word of God, debauchery. Now you say, okay, you're right, Pastor John, what is debauchery? Well, debauchery is extreme indulgence in sensuality. Extreme indulgence in sensuality. In other words, it's simply letting your senses call the shots. Letting your senses call the shots. Now, this could really, really, really affect those of you that are 30 and younger. This really could affect you. Those of you that are 70 and older, it could really affect you as well. And then those of you that say, well, you know, let me see, that's like 40, 50, 60, we're in the safe zone. No, everyone's really affected. But really, the point I wanted to really try to make is because I was raised in a generation that even the government had a voice in encouraging us to live with a strong conviction and not according to your feelings. I was raised, I graduated from Mainland High School, old Mainland that was on the hill, not the beautiful thing, 90210 that's sitting over there now, but the old school Mainland back in 1987. And I was raised while the 40th president was sworn in of the United States of America on January 20th, 1981 till January 20th, 1989. And those were the Reagan years. And Nancy Reagan came out with an anti-drug slogan. Some of you might remember that went into anti-alcoholism and then eventually graduated to an eventual anti-premarital sex campaign. And remember, some of you might know it. It was just say no. Just say no. There was a generation that was raised up that believed that you could come face to face with something that you really wanted to do. And that you had your absolutes, your convictions to take over at that moment. Just say no. Don't listen to your feelings. Just say no. When you get there, facts, absolute truth, the Word of God, or absolute truth, overcomes the feelings. But that is not the mantra for those that are 30 and younger today from our society. It's the total opposite. Nothing anywhere near that. You know, their mantra today is just be yourself. If that's what you feel, then that's who you are. Just go with it. How many know that's dangerous? That is dangerous. We should not be governed by our feelings. Our feelings change at the moment. Not looking around, but some of us emotionally are like roller coasters. We're all over the place. And so to be governed by that is unfortunate. You know, and I have a heart. We have a heart, you know, for you know, Pastor Kathy and I, we were youth ministers for over 30 years. And, you know, I was the young adult minister for over 4 years, you know. And so you see these guys, they have to understand you cannot have your life governed by your feelings, by just doing whatever or feeling whatever at that moment, because it'll lead you astray. It'll lead you empty, broke, and hurting. We cannot be governed by our feelings. Our feelings change at the moment, every moment. You know, I'm married today. I'm not married tomorrow. I love him today. I don't love him tomorrow. I'm a Christian today. I'm not a Christian tomorrow. I'm a man today. Lord Jesus, help the world, right? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My Christian brothers, you should be happy when you have all kinds of tests. Wow, that is a tough pill to swallow. But my Christian brothers, you should be happy when you have all kinds of tests. You know these prove your faith. It will help you not to give up. Learn well how to wait so you will be strong and complete and in need of nothing. If you do not have wisdom, ask God for it. He is always ready to give it to you and will never say you're wrong for asking. You must have faith as you ask God for it. As you ask God, you must not doubt. Anyone who doubts is like a wave being pushed around by the sea. Verse 7, such a man will have nothing from the Lord. Verse 8, the man who has two ways of thinking changes in everything he does. The King James Version says the double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. So we can't be governed by our feelings. Now, I did mention 70 and up, right? Right, 70 and up. Now, 70 and up, 70, those of you that are 70 up, you know, you still have breath in your lungs. God's not through with you yet. God has more for you to do. So we need to be that example. Well, I say we, like, but I would say you need to be that example. And just because we have to be that example to the younger generations, to the younglings, because just because I see this quite often, because we are 70 and plus, that we have lived our life, we have done what we needed to do, and I could act the way I want, talk the way I want, and say whatever in the world that I want to say. I'm here to tell you, that's not golly. It really isn't. You say, well, guess what? I've earned it. You know what? Your reward is in heaven. Wait till you get to heaven to get rewarded. Right now, you're still here on the earth, so God has more for you to do, and that's to be that example and the light to the younglings, the example and the light and a witness, you know, and not be their excuse, but be their example in all things. It's not just not for young people to be an example. It's for those that are older as well, our seasoned saints. You have a place, and it's not just to exist and just, well, I've lived my life. No, but you know what? To be that example, that guess what? That young married couple that just had a baby, and they're like, the baby's colicky, and they don't know what to do, and then you're there. You've known it. You've walked it out. You're able to be there. You're able to be that love. I mean, there's so much for you to do other than just saying, well, I get to say what I want and do what I want because I've lived my life. You're not done yet. God's not through with you yet. God's got more for you to do, all of us. 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, leadership example is what we need. Some of you guys know what it's like to graduate a senior out of your house. You know, you're a 12th grader and what it's like. Some of us could use that example. We can use some advice in that because we're experiencing it for the first time. And, you know, so much that you have to offer just by coming in and sitting. It's just, you know what? You have more to give. God's not done with you yet. So much wisdom, so much advice, so much more to give. And there's individuals around here that are sponges waiting for help. And so I wanted to encourage you with that. Debauchery comes along and says, you know, your feelings can be trusted. You know, if we follow our feelings all the time, we would be in an absolute mess all day, every day. We live in a debauchery society. It's indulging in sensuality all the time, saying, trust those feelings. You can trust them. But that's where we have to be careful, not just to take advice from the world, but also not to take part. Because, you know, we can do damage in ourselves as well. Right here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, specifically says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Woo! In other words, be careful that you, in what you consume, be careful in what you consume, that it doesn't dull your senses, where basically you become senseless. And you know what I'm talking about. You just get to the point, drunk, inhibitions, you know, that liquid courage, you think, oh, and everything else, and then bad decisions come. Bad decisions happen that change our lives. I mean, seventh grade, there was a young girl that was in our middle school, and she was at her first party, and she was, you know, a first boyfriend, and they made the decision to have sex for the first time, his first time, her first time, and the first time she got pregnant, and totally changed her life. Never saw her again after that. That's all they focused on was that baby. And she would, you know, she was very popular in school. You know, it just caused her decision to be cloudy. It dulled her senses, you know. And hear me when I say this. Choices lead, feelings follow. Choices in life lead. Feelings in life follow. Amen? Okay, here's number three. Okay, here's the third one. This is the big cannoli, okay? The big giant cannoli. All right? So here we go. Number three, sexual immorality. Now again, I'm purposely using terms that are in the Bible, scripture, terms that the Bible talks about. And the Bible is very vocal on the topic of sexual impurity. And we're going to dig into this right now. We're going to dig into the original language of the Bible to really discover what the Bible means about the term sexual immorality. All right? Now those two words, sexual immorality, all right? And it's two words in English, but it's one word in the Greek. It's one word in the Greek, and that word is porneia. Porneia. It is eventually where we got the terminology pornography, but that's not what porneia means. Porneia means all sexual sin outside of marriage. Porneia, all sexual sin outside of marriage. It's all sex outside of marriage. And that's, and hear me, that is the biblical definition of marriage. Defined by God, not defined by government. Okay? Let the government decide what they want to decide, but you can't unwrite what God has already written. And there should be a whole lot more amens to that, because it's the truth of the matter. Now, I'm not picking on any specific gender. I'm not picking on any specific group. This, on the topic of sexual morality, confronts all of us. It confronts every single one of us in this room. You know, it's all sexual sin outside of marriage. That includes lust. That includes pornography. That includes cohabiting. That includes premarital sex, both hetero or homosexual. It's all sexual sin outside of marriage. And God defines marriage as one man and one woman. That's how he defines it. That's what he says. That's God's definition of marriage. And honestly, it's not that unclear. It's very clear in the Word of God. It really is. And again, I'm not isolating any one group. It's all of us, because all sex outside of marriage, the bond of marriage, can destroy us. It really can. Why? Why? Well, here we go. This is what we talked about last week. God's just being a killjoy. You know, he's just being a killjoy. What does it matter what I look like? What does it matter? I'm by myself. It doesn't bother anybody. I'm not hurting anybody. Well, I'm glad you said that. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's jump there real quick. And now before we read this passage of scripture, this is where Paul was writing to the church of Corinth. Now understand this. That right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, understand this passage of scripture, it was written in the context where this specific, bless you, part of the country worshiped their little g god through temple prostitution. Okay? So if you can imagine that, you go to church and that's how you worshiped, by having sexual encounter in the temple with prostitutes. Paul comes along and is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait, listen to this. You guys need to hear this. And they were, they didn't know. He says, did you not know? Which they would have been like, no, we really did not know. We didn't know. And Paul says, do you not know? And he said, they said, Paul, know what? In 1 Corinthians, we'll pick it up. Chapter 6, verse 15. He says, do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ itself? Shall I then take a member of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. He's saying Christ doesn't dwell in buildings. He dwells in people. And they were like, and they were for serious. They were like, really? Are you really? And he's like, yeah, you are the temple. He wants to dwell inside of you. And here's the thing. This word unite. Shall I take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? See, that doesn't shock you and I, but it shocked them. Because this word that Paul used in the Greek for the word unite means specifically this. It means to permanently fuse at the deepest level. Sex is permanently fusing at the deepest level. The world wants us to be fooled that it's just an isolated event. It's recreational. It doesn't make no difference. Come on, John, it was spring break. I don't even know her name. Come on. But what you don't realize is that you were permanently fusing at the deepest level. There's a piece of you left with her, a piece of her left with you. 1 Corinthians, continuing on, it says, do you not know that he who united himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, and now this is the Bible quoting the Bible. This is the Bible right here. And first, it's going back to where sex was talked about for the first time in Genesis. The two will become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh. And it's not just talking about physical. It's talking about emotional as well. Say, oh, there's no emotion in it. There's no emotion in that. Well, I'm telling you, I've known individuals throughout the years that have either been abused or raped, and you can ask them. They will tell you there's plenty of emotion that goes along with it. So that is just a lie of the enemy to tell, say that there's no emotion that goes along with it. It's not the case. It's permanently fusing. It's a permanent fusion at the deepest level. You say, well, I'm so glad I came to church today. Right? It's not very encouraging, you know? But some of us sitting here today, knowingly or unknowingly, may have engaged in permanently fusing at the deepest level. Some of us are currently engaged in that. Some of us are permanently fusing at the deepest level with a computer screen. Soul ties are happening all around in a lot of different ways. So what do we do about it? Well, thank God. Thank goodness. I'm telling you what. I'm here to tell you this morning that the good news here today is that the Bible has a solution for you. He has a solution for me. And I tell you what, God is ready, is always ready to give us a fresh start. And you know why? Because of the blood of Jesus. He's ready to give us a fresh start and a do-over for each and every one of us. That we don't have to walk this out alone. But the blood of Jesus not just covers that sin, but washes that sin clean. And then he promises that he doesn't remember that sin from the east is to the west. Never again giving us a fresh start, giving us a fresh, a brand new start. He just doesn't forgive, he cleanses. When he gets involved, and that's what we have to do. We have to allow God to get involved. We have to allow Jesus to get involved in our life. And then when we do that, he doesn't just forgive, he cleanses. And there's just as long as there's true repentance. True repentance was just not doing a 360 and going the same way, but it's actually doing a 180. And even when you do mess up when you're doing a 180, that God's grace and mercy and his love is there to help you, guide you through it, and keep giving you the strength to continue to keep going forward and not giving up no matter what the circumstance is. And that's what we're trying to do over these last 4 weeks. Get you to think about some things purposely in your relationship with God. Some things that are uncomfortable to talk about. But you know what? I believe that every single one of us can go to another level in our relationship with him by just doing self-evaluations in these areas, spirit, soul, and body, so that we can become closer with God. So we can have a clearer understanding and recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So you say, how? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4:4-5 says, each of you should learn. That's the key word, learn. Each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy. And holy doesn't mean perfect. Holy just means separate. You know, holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And, you know, we have to remember that God's not against us. God's for us. He already knows all of our mess ups. He just wants us to come to him because that's where in that pure heart. Say, God, you know what? I've messed up. I want you. I want your guidance. I want your forgiveness. I want a fresh start with you. It's so simple to do. It's so easy. And he'll give you a fresh start. And for some people, it saves marriages. For some people, it'll save your future marriages. For some people, it'll save your children's future. That's how serious this has become. So, okay, how can I help this? You know, these three things, the addiction, debauchery, and the sexual immorality, there's three simple things that you can do to detox that I'm going to give you this for this week that you can focus on. Okay, three simple things I'm going to give you expeditiously this morning. Okay, number one is get away from it. Just get away from it. Physically remove yourself from the proximity of. It's pretty simple. You know, proximity of what? It. What it? Your it. Whatever it is, whoever it is, whatever. Just need to get away from it. There's some young adults, there's some teenagers that, you know what, you have a bad relationship in school. You need on your way out the door, just text them. Text him, text her, text them. It's over. And then block them. You need to cut it away. Get it, just separate yourself from it. It's that simple. First Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who commits sexual sin against his own body. We don't manage sin. Can't manage sin. It's not a managed tension. We run from it. You don't work sin off. It's not a life sentence. You know, you're working years off of your no. You don't manage sin. You don't work it off. You run from sin. It's the truth. It's that simple. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So that first one, just simply, so simple. Get away from it. Number two, guard your mind. Guard your mind. You know, we have to be careful what we're putting in front of our eyes. We really, really, really do. You know, I guarantee you that where you're losing the battle, whatever it is, where you're losing the battle is not in the final decision making. That's not where you're losing the battle. The battle's being lost all the way at the beginning by allowing the thought to come in and not throwing it out immediately, but actually marinating on it, thinking about it, allowing it to take root. And then you're thinking more and more and more about it. And then the more you're thinking about it, the closer you're getting to what it is. And the actual thought pattern is the moment it comes in your mind that you take it out and you throw it away. And I'll tell you the perfect example of this, that it's not sin when you get tempted, is Jesus, the Christ himself, Jesus, the Savior himself was in the wilderness and he was tempted, but yet he didn't sin. Why? What was the key factor? What was the difference maker? The difference maker was when he was tempted, he immediately threw it out of his mind. He immediately did not marinate on it. He didn't let it take root. He immediately counteracted it with the word of God. And so that's why you're tempted, but you don't allow it to take root. That's where the battle is truly won. Not allowing it to get that bad. And we have to be careful what we're putting before our eyes. How many of you here last week? Majority of everybody. So, you know, you guys remember the illustration, the story I told you about the little boy who wanted to watch that movie. And there's a part of that movie that just, you know, the whole movie was decent. But there's a part of that movie, it wasn't much, but it was a part of that movie that just wasn't good. And the mother said, well, you know, I don't really want you seeing that. And the little boy said, well, I really want to see it. All my friends have seen it already. And so can I please have them come over? They've seen it. I want to see it. And she said, well, you know what? Go ahead. I'll let you do it. I'll let you watch it. And call, bring all your friends over. And you know what? I'm going to make you your favorite brownies. And he said, awesome. And there they are. And they're watching the movie. And she's out. And she goes. And she's making her brownies. She's making his favorite brownies. And all of a sudden, she walks out to where a little Fido just dropped off a fresh, you know, deposit. You know, and she didn't get much. She just got a little bit. Just a little bit, you know. And then she goes and she takes that little bit and throws it in the batter. Mixes it all up. Right? Makes the brownies, and then all of a sudden, here you go. Now, just so you know, that you know, little Fido, it's just a little bit. You're not going to notice it. Just a little bit. You see my point? How many of you would still eat the brownies? Absolutely not. Now my whole household knows why this brother, this Italian brother, does not eat brownies. Okay? I do not like brownies. I do not eat brownies. I will not eat brownies. You never know. It's too close. Okay? The truth. I don't like brownies. But guard your mind. You got to be careful of what you're putting before your mind. And lastly, and if the music ministry would come up on this third one, is honestly, go all in with God. Go all in. What do you mean by that, John? Some of you just have a toe. You're that person, you know, when you get to the lake and you put your toe in there, you know. Some of you, you know, you get to a pool and you put your hand. My wife, she just dives right in the deep end. Some of us really need to be there just like that when it comes to the things of God. We got to go all in with God. Some of you may know, I'll share this first service and I'll close with this, the Sweeneys. I don't know if you know Mike and Sarah Sweeney. They're great, great people. They have five children. Five children. You know, Michael, he's 18, he just graduated. Christian, or Chain, if those of you in the youth group know who he is, he's 11 years old. And you have Ben, that's 8, Ella, 7, Emma, 5, and Levi, 3. Whew, you can definitely say their quiver is full, right? But they've made a decision to go all in with God. My son Nathan and I, last month, there was a youth activity at Daytona One, and they were bowling, and we had the opportunity to, you know, drive Christian home. And I didn't know where he lived, but we were driving, and all of a sudden, I realized, my goodness, we're on the highway. And I realized that they live 27 miles away, 30 minutes away from the church. They live in DeLand. And I thought to myself, my goodness, they make this trip every Sunday with all those kids. How many of them were in single digits? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 of them in single digits still. And not only that, they come on a Saturday to a small group. She's a part of a small group on Saturday. And then they come on Sunday. And then they bring Christian back on Monday for Decision Youth Group on Monday nights. She goes to the women's small group next door at Street 5. And then Mike Sr. comes to my house for our men's freedom small group. It's like that's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's 4 days out of the 7. And that's not even including any special events, just like when the youth group had an activity. I thought to myself, that is a family that's all in. They are wanting and desiring. To go all in with God. When they could say, and they have every reason to say, I have 4 kids under 10. It's too stressful. It's too difficult to get them here. It's too long of a drive. But God gives them the strength that they need to be here. And God gives them what they need every single time that they're here. Not just Mike, not just Sarah, but their kids as well. They're all in. Their family has a purpose that's bigger in life. Romans chapter 6, verse 13, and I'll end here. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. How many of us use far less excuses not to be all in with God? And I'm not talking about joining the church. That's not what I'm talking about here. I mean, this is a good church. We love you too. But that's not what this is about. This is about all that God has for you. What is holding you back? Remove it. Go all